Let's open up tonight, if we could, to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. And just one of those sermons that's built out of a simple verse here. Verse 16. It says, "The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." Let's bow our heads there and have a word of prayer. All right, Lord, once again, we'll ask your benevolence and beneficence and speaking to us here. And we always experience your mercy and your loving kindness as you speak to us. We appreciate that. Same time, it's straightforward and clear and plain. I pray you'd give us insight, Lord, into ourselves, and I pray that you might just help us, Lord, to, as we say that we endeavor to stay on top of things in these perilous times, these last days, I pray you'd help us to indeed to do so. Give us something practical tonight, Father, and I just pray that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Proverbs 21:16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Now, one of man's foibles and his failures is that he tends to wander. Says there, he that wandereth out of the way of understanding. We sing the hymn, prone to wander, or prone to wander, prone to leave the Lord I love, right? And so that's the way we are. Israel wandered in the wilderness, and technically their wandering in the wilderness, it's mentioned 8 or 9 times, was within the will of God. But don't forget what put them there. What put them there was disobedience. And so they were basically stuck in the wilderness, and it says they wandered, so they really didn't know where they were going day to day. They knew that they would eventually wind up in the promised land. But it's also rather depressing to think about the fact that, if we're going to apply it to us, that there was an entire generation of them wandering in the promised, wandering in the wilderness, waiting to die. And so it mentions here that man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. That's not where you want to be. The bottom line is, God doesn't want men wandering. It's our tendency, it's our inclination, our proclivity, it's just our bent. It's the way we are. That's what the sinful nature's done for us. In fact, Eve kind of had a tendency before she had an evil nature. And so it's just something that man is. Wandering, I should start off by saying, can be dangerous. Everybody here has firsthand experience in one way or another, maybe not tragic, hopefully not, of, your kid, your toddler is right by you, and you lose track for just a minute or less, and suddenly they're out of sight. They tend to wander. You can't leave a toddler or even a crawler, and expect them to stay in the center of the floor where you left them. They're going to move. That's the way we are. And so that kind of stuff happens. You hear of people wandering into the wrong neighborhood, and sometimes the tragedy that comes out of that. Purposeless meandering, just straying, that's wandering. You can wander these days on the internet. It's called surfing. One of those deals. My experience in college, I'm one that believes that if your kid's going to go to college, he or she needs to know what she's going to do, go and get it, and get out as quickly as possible. Because I spent 5 years there wandering, and I got into more mischief, and I wound up accumulating more bad company. And I'm not just talking about the kids I was, running around with. I'm talking about the professors trying to fill my mind with nonsense. It's a great place to wander and be dashed to pieces. It's a dangerous thing to wander. Who doesn't know that lives close to the road with little kids. It's a dangerous thing. It's also aggravating. I try not to go shopping with Marcy. Because Cub Foods, Walmart, wherever, we can be standing right there together. And suddenly, she evaporates. And honestly, once she does, I just might as well go sit down. Because I can walk my legs off at Cub Foods, looking down aisles, trying to find her, and I'm not going to find her. She might be over looking at the cheese or something, but I'm not going to see her. I don't know what happens, but they disappear. They wander, meander off. I don't know. That's what it is. It's aggravating. The minute that I forget to think about Max, if he's outside with me and off the leash, he's gone. I mean, the moment I stop having eyes on him, he's gone. Just gone. It's aggravating. So wandering's dangerous. Wandering's aggravating. And by the way, it's constant. Lord laments the sheep wandering all the way through the Old Testament. And if there's one thing that's true, the sheep need a shepherd or ten. But it's constant. Now, you say, why do we wander? Well, let me fill in a couple of gaps here. Look in Jeremiah chapter 14 real quick. There's a reason why you wander. There's a wee reason why surfing the internet is so popular. It's addictive. The reason why is Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 10. Some people just like to get out and meander around without purpose and without direction. 14:10 says, "Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them." You know why? Because you like it. Just kind of fun to just meander around purposelessly and get in a lot of trouble that way. So like I said, don't go to college meandering. Just purposely, you know, seeking your way in life. That's the wrong place to seek it. It really is. You need to go, pay your money, get what you need, and get out. Because that's the wrong spot. Anyway, there's that. I want to say further, look in Lamentations chapter 4. Lamentations 4, can we add this to it? If it wasn't already plain, Lamentations 4. And go on down to verse 14. Lamentations 4:14. They have wandered as blind men in the streets. They have polluted themselves with blood so that men could not touch their garments. They cried unto them, "Depart ye, it is unclean. Depart, depart, touch not." When they fled away and wandered, they said among the heathen, "They shall no more sojourn there." But that wandering in that in verse 15, you can see it's pollutive in verse 15. It's unclean. It's a dangerous proposition. Now, Proverbs 21:16 specifies that you should not wander out of the way of understanding. Need to think about that. Proverbs as written to grant understanding. You can read that from Proverbs 1. 65 times in Proverbs alone, understanding in one form or another is mentioned. First time the word understanding is used in the Bible, it is where the Lord messed up the understanding of the people at the Tower of Babel so they could not understand one another. And the reason that's kind of important is because he turned that around at Pentecost, and all of a sudden all these people speaking different languages understood what was being said. What that shows you is that's God. That's a lot of times understanding is related to God doing something in your life. He can mess up the understanding and he can instantly give it back, just like that. Genesis 11 and Acts chapter 2. And so that's the first time it's used. And we're going to look at some stuff here tonight. I can say this, that understanding is both a gift and an achievement. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him, right? So you have to get saved before you can understand some things. So there's a gift nature to it. Bezalel, I'll mention him in a minute. Bezalel was given understanding so he could work as an artificer and work out all those vessels and stuff and the special furniture of the tabernacle. He was given understanding by God. It was instant. It can be a gift. At the same time, you'll study and see here in a little bit that it also is something that's earned. It's an achievement. And so, either case, whether God gave it to you or whether you earned it by hard work and study, understanding is not something you want to just wander away from, just meander away. I mean, we've spoken a couple times. I've spoken to a couple of you. You know, I regret the challenge that, you know, Brother Campbell faces, because what he faces is, you know, he's not going to know conceivably what he's doing or how he's acting by the time this ends. Now, maybe the Lord is merciful, right? But the scary part about Alzheimer's is you're not always there. So you lose understanding. That is scary. And so I don't want to make the mistake of wandering from the way of understanding. So we're going to study the way of understanding here for a little while tonight. In fact, it's going to take a couple weeks. I've got a missionary next week, so we'll have to pick it up later. But you'll notice in verse 16 that the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. That probably says some things about lost people in the sense that the Lord gives them a conscience and gives them natural instinctive knowledge of some things so they can understand some things. Bible says that men understand the things that are made, that there's a creator. But if you wander from that, you've locked yourself out of a new birth. You remain in the congregation of the dead. Literally. The congregation is dead in trespasses and sins. It also speaks to the idea of what's going on in Christianity, where the saved stray away, meander away from the way of understanding. They wander. And so sometime, you know, that couple this morning was going to go visit some other churches. Praise the Lord. That's fine. We were their first visit. I hope they experience the fullness of it. Because there are some places you can go that are called churches, and they say they're King James churches even. And they're dead as a hammer. And there are some so-called Bible-believing Christians, fundamentalists and so on, that say that they believe like we believe, and they are dead as a hammer. And part of that issue is that the world and the devil have constantly drawn them to meander, to wander. They've distracted them from the way of understanding. They no longer have a Bible, and so they wandered from the way of understanding, and now they are dead as a doornail spiritually. I didn't say they can't recover. I just said when you wander, you pay the price. And so I just soon not pay the price. So simple title to the message is Don't Wander. It's more of a Bible study than it is anything else. And I'm going to start with in biblical order. I thought that'd be easier the way it laid out. And so again, this is going to take a couple of weeks. So don't expect a big finish here tonight. But if you will, turn to one of the earliest passages that I get light on this matter of wandering from the way of understanding. Go, if you will, to Exodus 31. I already mentioned the guy tonight, Exodus 31. And it says in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in the matter of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass." I mean, apparently this guy, I don't know if it was instant or not, but he knew how to make what God wanted made. Apparently the Lord just put it on him. I mean, I don't know what to say. You know, don't know what to say it is, but he understood it instinctively when God gave it to him. It was a gift. It says, I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding. Okay, I'll say this. I'll tell you a place you can start. You don't want to wander from this, and it's easy to wander from it. You need to think about it more often than we probably do. But Bezalel was filled with the Spirit of God. Now, we have our own promises about that. I don't mean that Bezalel was filled with the Spirit of God in the way that we are, sealed by the Holy Spirit and all those things. But still, you have to acknowledge Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And to not wander from the way of understanding so you don't wind up dead as a doornail, you need to practice. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5, go on down to verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And you can see some verses around about there. For instance, verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding. There's the word, right? But understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So at least part of being filled with the Spirit, if it's connected to understanding, is understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, you can discover what the will of the Lord is from the Bible, what you're supposed to be doing and what you're supposed to be thinking and not doing and so on and so forth, right? Well, if that's the case, then that must be linked to being filled with the Spirit. I mean, to have your eyes and your heart filled with what you're supposed to be doing or not doing, you staying in the Bible, you meditating in the Bible, obeying the Bible, applying the Bible, that has to have something to do with being filled with the Spirit. It's not some charismatic, you know, incantation by which by some magical thing it comes down upon you and all of a sudden, hallelujah, you're filled with the Spirit. It doesn't work that way. Some of you have experience in that. It doesn't work that way. It's much more practical than that. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, it's interesting. It's always been interesting to me that it says that. It compares on each end of the spectrum here, drunk with wine versus filled with the Spirit. Ever wonder about that? The only thing I can come up with is that when somebody's drunk, they're of another mindset. Now, you can't count on them being stable. If they're, you know, not all people are crazy or malicious when they're drunks. But, you know, a lot of times they're just not, they don't think right because their thinking's affected. Okay, that's the negative. By the same token, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Can I just say, you're not supposed to think like they think. I'm not talking about drunks. I'm talking about people in Coon Rapids just down the street. You're supposed to be of a different mindset. When troubles come, it's supposed to be a different mindset. When an election's pending, it's supposed to be a different mindset. When COVID is going to smite us to the ground, you're supposed to be of a different mindset. And praise the Lord, I mean, we are. But the reason I think it makes the comparison is because neither of those things is natural. Being drunk is not natural. I mean, it's not the normal you. Well, being filled with the Spirit is also not the normal you. It's elevated. You say, well, what do you want to get at here? Well, if you're laboring in that, this is a direct admonition. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a direct admonition. Reading, praying, studying. I mean, aggressively attending to the things of God, trying to get more, trying to understand. Look, it's easy to get away from that because it's frustrating work. Because I can tell you, you know, Brother Walker sent me something here a month ago and asked if I'd look over it and see what I came up with. And I've looked at it. And I ain't come up with squat. It's frustrating. You know, I have a Bible and all that, and there's answers in here. I know the answers are in here, but sometimes it's just it's frustrating. You say, well, what are you saying? Well, I'm saying everything in this world is aimed to distract you, to move you away from what you should be doing. You know, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little of the folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come. Okay, spiritual poverty. I'm trying to not be among the congregation of the dead here. And the way to not be a part of the congregation of the dead is to not wander out of the way of understanding. Well, Bezalel was given understanding because he was filled with the Spirit of God. I have to make the New Testament application. You should be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not what a charismatic thinks it is. In fact, it's just an awful lot of kind of hard work just keeping your mind on your business, staying in the book, right? Don't wander. Don't meander. Don't lollygag. Don't stray, because you don't want to wind up dead as a hammer. Says, he that wandereth from the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Okay, I can give you something else. Let me take you over to Job. Over to Job. Job 12. Okay, Job 12, verse 12 says something interesting. By the time this is over, I'm not sure that I'm going to have hit everything. I'm talking about in a couple more weeks when this second or third of these is done. But hopefully it sheds some light on, you know, what we face in this battle. In 12:12 it says, with the ancient is wisdom, old guys, and in length of days, understanding. Well, he that wandereth from the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Okay. So in the length of days, understanding. So you know what you need? You need to get experience. Now, I'm not talking about experience in the world. I'm talking about experience in serving God. Let me show you what I mean. Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, going down to verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay, we knew that. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. The Bible has to be done. It has to be acted upon. You should realize you don't know anything as you ought to know it until you've done it. It takes experience. And if it takes experience, it talks about the length of days, then it takes faithfulness. So you have to put this book into action on a faithful basis, week to week to week to week, year upon year. Look at another one, John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and you'll know the verse when I read it, 7:17. If any man will do his will, God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. There's a doing. It's not just enough to believe something. You need to do it before you really get the understanding of it. You know, I was thinking about this, trying to figure out how to illustrate it. But there are people that give us advice all the time about how we should evangelize the world. I mean, and usually we're doing it wrong. Knocking doors, offending people, we're doing it wrong. Preaching on the street, well, you're doing that wrong. Okay, well, how do you do it right? You don't have the slightest idea how to do it right. Because you ain't even tried to do it. There's things you can't understand until you do them. And you're not going to fully understand them until you do them for a long time. Who doesn't know? I mean, I learned in the ministry that I've been taught all this stuff in Bible class. And, I mean, I knew it in my head, but boy, it was sure different when it came and hit me upside the head like a 2x4. It sure was different when I was having to do it. There's an entirely different level of knowledge. You understand? You have to go through something. You have to do it. You have to put the promises in action before you have the experience. And with that experience comes understanding. That's what Job 12 basically said. You have to listen to old men talk that have been there with you, but you also have to do it. Because I was taught by the best Bible teacher that maybe ever lived. But boy, there's a lot of stuff that I still hear it all these years later go, oh yeah, ding, Doc told me that. And I knew it. It was in my file of doctrine, but boy, did I not understand it until I went through it. Okay? All right, there's something else, Job 28. We're discussing here how to keep from wandering out of the way of understanding. You need to understand what understanding is, and need to know what gives understanding so you don't wander out of that way, because you will stray. You will, in your meanderings, get away from it. It's just that way. Job 28, verse 28. And unto man he saith, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Okay? To not wander from the way of understanding, you're going to have to do right. You're going to have to depart from evil. When God says depart. For no other reason, just because he said to. Well, I don't understand why I should. Well, you just better understand that he understands why you should. So you shouldn't go there. That it says to depart from evil is understanding. It's easy to wander away from that. How easy is it? Well, you have grace. You have liberty. And right now, most Christians in this town are being taught basically they can do anything they want to. After all, Jesus died for you. Jesus loved you the way you were. He died for you. He loved you and died for you. And so, you know, since it's all by grace through faith, you have no obligations. So you guys, you know, a little drinking doesn't hurt, and you know, a little carousing, and you know, who can say that any kind of music's bad? Because I mean, all music is neutral. And before it's all over with, you have a bunch of Christians who have not departed from evil. And in so doing, they have wandered from the way of understanding. And so one day when they need understanding in something, the Lord says, where have you been? You know, I gave you very clear admonitions. You need to do right. You need to depart from evil. Think about this. You know, we kind of glorify the guy that ran the gamut. Dopehead, you know, wound up in jail, killed somebody, lived as wicked as the devil. I mean, he has a real experience in life, you know. And we kind of have a tendency to glorify that. I know why we do that, because, you know, if the Lord can save him, then he can save anybody. If he can turn his life around, boy, that's a glory. I get it. But when you stop and think about it, if this verse is right, to depart from evil is understanding, then the kid who got saved young stayed in church and is pure, and the world would call them naive and simple, and you know, just a church kid, he has access to more understanding than the guy that lived like a pig but got saved miraculously. So it's worth just considering that. I mean, To depart from evil is understanding. You need to do right. If you don't want to wander from the way of understanding, then you need to do right. And by that, I mean you need to depart from evil. And somewhere along the way, that's just kind of gotten lost in Christianity, because most of Christianity is no longer separated from the world. They're not really separated from evil. Any kind of music's okay, you know, and, you know, you can, you know, date anybody. Don't worry about whether they're saved or not. I mean, after all, missionary dating's a good thing. It just gets weirder and weirder as we go by. It's going to get weirder yet. I got news for you. We're not done with weird yet. But do right, depart from evil. It keeps you from wandering. Let me show you something else. Look in Job 32, and I had a hard time putting a... we've still been Job for a while, haven't we? Had a hard time putting a title to this text. But Job 32, verse 8. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Now there's a sister verse, Job 38. In Job 38, God has started his rebuke of Job. And he reams him up one side, down the other. And he says in verse 36, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Who hath given understanding to the heart? Well, plainly, God did, right? Well, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So I'll put it this way, don't limit God. And I say that because I just got done with a King James Conference, and he wanted me to go into this. And so we know the word inspiration shows up two times in the Bible. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. And second, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. We know that God inspired the scriptures. Okay? But if you want to see a King James kinda Textus Receptus scholar or New Version scholar have an aneurysm and a heart attack at the same time, tell them that inspiration applies to God giving me understanding. Because they have limited God. Maybe don't limit God. They have limited God to inspiration being only inspiring the original manuscripts of the Scripture. And whatever it is that God, however it is that God gives me and you understanding in something, that's not inspiration. Except the Bible says it's inspiration. This is the reason I have no problem with believing that the King James translators were given a special dose of something to put together the King James Bible, and that's the reason I believe it's perfect. Because I think that God not only inspired the scriptures, but I believe he inspired the understanding of the translators to translate it right. So what does this all mean for me? Well, it means for you, don't limit God. Because your understanding of things was going to revolve around some things that you do. That's true. It is also going very much to revolve around God dealing with you personally and showing you something, teaching you some personal lessons that I can stand up all day and yell about, and you ain't going to get it until the Lord wants you to get it. The natural man, if you're lost, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're foolishness unto him, because he doesn't have the right spirit. He has to have the Holy Spirit inside him, right? That's could be called inspiration. Look in 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings 3. Don't limit God. Don't let a scholar say that it's not as miraculous for God to enlighten your understanding as, for instance, it was for God to inspire the Bible. Because I believe that those are extensions of each other. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. What did I say? 1 Kings 3. I got preaching, sorry. First Kings 3. It was here just this morning. First Kings chapter 3, going down to verse 11. This is Solomon. And the Lord says, tell me what you want me to give you. Verse 11, God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. By what means did God do that? Well, he just gave it to him. Yeah, what did Job call that? He called it inspiration. If God gives you understanding, it's inspiration. You understand, I'm not talking about inspiring new scripture. I'm talking about God giving you light. It's called inspiration. And I'm saying you shouldn't limit him on that. I say that because there's a bunch of people standing around saying, oh no, that can't be the case. Can't be called that. No, 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 no. I mean, in the Hebrew, oh, shut up. Look at what, if you will, in, well, I'll quote it to you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. So how are you going to get understanding? You've got to lean unto his understanding. He's going to have to give you understanding. Look, if you will, I'm not going to keep going forever here, but Daniel chapter 1, Daniel 1. One of those all over the Bible things Brother Stevens does. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel 1. It was a wonderful day for me when the Lord released me from scholars' limitations. And what somebody said, oh no, that passage can't mean that. Well, if it says that, that's probably what it means. And if the Lord used this word, and that's, you know, should be compared with other words and stuff, but when the Lord only uses a word twice in the Bible, once in the Old Testament, once in the New, I'm sorry, I don't care what the Greek and Hebrew say, they're probably linked. It's just true. All right, Daniel chapter 1, go on down to verse 17. As for these four children, Hebrew children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, how did he get that? God gave it to him. What's that called? Inspiration. Right? I'm sorry. That's what I think. Verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers. Well, how did those kids wind up with more understanding than relatively aged men who had long experience in supernatural phenomena? He gave them understanding. What's that called? It's called inspiration. Okay? Don't limit God. Don't limit God. Luke 24. Luke 24. Say, it wouldn't happen for a Christian. Can't happen like that. Now, I'm not talking about new scripture. I'm talking about Lord giving you light on something, probably through the scriptures. And here's my proof text in Luke 24, down in verse 45. They've walked with Jesus Christ for several miles. And verse 45, then opened he their understanding. Now, think about this. He opened their understanding that they might understand. Okay, well, he gave them understanding. What's that called? Inspiration. Don't limit God. Don't let some pinhead scholar tell you what God can't do when you have a Bible that says he can. Don't limit God. You know what we've done for a long time? I say we loosely. Christians have allowed pinhead dictatorial little punk scholars to limit their God. And to limit what the Bible says and to limit the truth. Because they say, oh, it can't mean that. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. Okay, we'll quit that one. Look in Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9. What have I said so far? You need to be filled with the Spirit. If you don't want to wander out of the way of understanding, then you need to, it's in part your work here to be filled with the Spirit. You need to get experience. That's a combination of you applying and the Lord bringing things to pass in your life so that you have, as you accumulate some years and time, have seen some things. And the way that things looked, having experienced them, is a lot different than the way they looked when you just had somebody telling you about them. It's experience. No, experience doesn't trump the scriptures, but experience is important. You need to do right, depart from evil. Okay, don't limit God. We just talked about that. Proverbs chapter 9, Proverbs 9. And verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Very familiar with that. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Learn all you can about holy things. And when somebody starts trying to tell you that your scriptures aren't holy and that you don't have to live holy, that there's no expectation, at least, for you to live holy, they're wrong. You know what they're saying? They're beckoning you off the path. They're beckoning you off the way of understanding. They are. Learn all that you can of holy things. You've never learned enough holy things. Right? What does it say? I mean, it says that. I want to show you something else here. Go back to Psalm 119 now. And it flows with that. But Psalm 119. I think there's 260 occurrences of the word understand in all forms. And so, you know, these were high points. I'm sure there's others I haven't hit. But in 104, if you wish not, according to Proverbs 21, to depart from the way of understanding and therefore wind up in the congregation of the dead, I should say this. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Okay, learn by precepts. Now I know you know where I'm going to go. Isaiah 28. The way you learn the Bible, the way you access the mind of Christ, is to lay down precept upon precept, line upon line. Isaiah 28, verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Look, you're going to have to grow up. You're going to have to get, somewhere along the way, you have to get beyond just the knowledge of the love of God. There's more to it than love. There's more to it than grace. Okay? You're going to have to grow up and eat some meat. Put some meat on your bones. Instead of being a Christian wimp. White, this thick, little pencil neck geek. Anyway, verse 10. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. Okay, he's telling you you need to learn by precept. Well, you build one precept upon another precept. It's an ongoing thing, but you build. You grow that way. You can't come to understanding if you're not learning sequentially. This is so. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Then you put some on top of that, and something else goes on top of that. And if you don't do it in that kind of order, with that kind of sequence, I mean, that's why I say part of it's a gift, because you have to have the Spirit of God teach you some things about those precepts, but part of it is you applying yourself and building. And if you don't apply yourself, you're not going to know. You're going to be a spiritual doofus. You will have wandered from the way of understanding. You will have had a firm enough foundation laid in a kind of church you've been going to with the kind of Sunday school teachers that you have teaching you here. But if you don't stay on track and don't continue to grow on your own, you're going to be a pencil-necked geek spiritually. It's true. You're going to wander from the way of understanding, and you're going to wind up dead as a doornail. You know, I know there are folks that we try to recover from leaving church, going out to the world. They had better sense. Some people go through school and all that kind of stuff and still wind up out there they are dead as a hammer spiritually. I don't mean they're lost if they were saved. I'm saying that they have no spiritual gumption. And the reason why is because they wandered from the way of understanding. And so they're in the congregation of the dead. Didn't say they were all dead in trespasses and sins and all going to hell. It just said, you know, as far as any spiritual motivation, they don't have any. Okay, let me take you to something else. Psalm 119, we're still there. And again, I'm going to run you through some Bible. By the time this is over, there's only going to be 7 points. Okay? But there will be many subpoints. So you're on 7 now. All right. Be filled with the Spirit. Because Bezalel was filled with the Spirit. And God gave him understanding in something that he probably hadn't developed by himself. Get experience. Depart from evil. Don't limit God. Learn everything that you can about holy things. Learn by precept. Build one on top of another. It's sequential. Part of it's God showing you, but part of it is you applying it and forging ahead. Okay? Then there's this, and this is the last. But don't get too anxious. Psalms 119. Psalm 119, 125. No, Psalm 19, 119, 25. Oh, no. Maybe it's 125. Yeah. Because there's no way they're going to be able to find it. Verse 125. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Now, you'll notice an interesting thing there. And thy servant, give me understanding that I may know. Understanding that I may know? It's kind of weird. I mean, God gives you understanding so you can know, but you already knew something before. Look, if you will, in Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Understand that you may know, but no understanding. You know what we're going on here? This is a cycle of things where you grow to know, and you know to understand, and then you understand to know more, and then you know more to understand. Has it never been a mystery to you that, I mean, it is me because it's all the time. I mean, I make a living doing this. You know, where this week, I got up on, I had a bunch of notes on a bunch of different stuff. What I'd be preaching all day today. And I had a bunch of stuff. So Thursday, you know, I thought I'd be able to tap into all those notes and be in good shape. Friday, I got up. Nothing works. But in my Bible reading, in Proverbs 21, I found this, and I also was reading in Esther, and I got that from this morning. The same morning, reading my Bible. Now, each of these are unique sermons to me in the sense that I haven't preached them somewhere else before or preached them here before. Okay, how does God do that? Can you tell me how you can have a knowledge of a passage of Scripture? Esther 1. A knowledge of, well, you know what happened there. And then, you know, like out of the clear blue, ding, 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 and there's something there. Well, where'd that come from? You know? I mean, who hasn't read Proverbs 21, 16? He that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation. Why did that Why did that captivate my attention this week? I'm saying that I do this all the time, and I don't have an explanation how it happens. And you've experienced it too if you've been in your Bible, where something pops out at you. How does that happen? Look, it happens because the Bible is alive. It's quick. It's the living Word of God. And while the words all stay the same, a lot of times you read through them and something happens in your mind where things congeal together in a way you haven't seen them before. It's hard to explain, but it's the process of understanding where you understand something so you know it better, and then you know it better so you understand something else deeper. It's this cycle that keeps going and going and going. And so you keep building on top of things. You say, what are you saying? Grow to know. On one hand it says no understanding, on the other hand it says understand knowledge. But they each feed each other. It's a feeding cycle. It's a cycle. Look in Proverbs chapter 15. Look how often this happens. That's all I wanted you to see here. What I'd like to impart is that I know you have the theological knowledge that the Bible is quick and powerful. It's alive. It's the living Word of God. The Word of God is not bound. But I mean, it can be evidenced in your life every day by the increase of understanding through knowledge and knowledge through understanding in each of your lives. It might keep you from wandering from the way of understanding, so you don't wind up spiritually dead somewhere and out of the water. Proverbs 15:14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. You understand to know, you know to understand. It's weird. Yeah. It's almost like double talk. Only it's not. How can a preacher keep going through? I was at a meeting one time, and the prodigal son from Luke was preached. There were six different sermons on the prodigal son. None of them was planned. All of them were different. How does that work? And I keep coming through. I mean, I keep preaching the same passages over and over through the years. It's, you know, not every week, but you know, through the years. But each sermon's different. How does that work? The Lord expects you to be so invested in the living nature of this book that keeps feeding. You know, different, you know, knowledge feeds understanding, understanding feeds knowledge, wisdom, so on and so forth, that, you know, you can't let it go because it's so unlike anything else that exists. It's the living Word of God. This book became a man who walked around in flesh and blood. And he's still called the Word of God at the second coming. But no, this is the Word of God. It's supposed to be real to you. I don't know if I'm getting it across, but it's supposed to be real to you. Keep looking at this. Look in Daniel 2. Daniel 2. We're almost done. Daniel 2. And verse 21, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. This is God. And setteth up kings, 2:21. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know. Knowledge to them that know understanding. It's almost like gobbledygook words. He gives knowledge to them that know understanding. So know understanding and understand knowledge. It's a cycle. Grow to know. Look in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. These are just examples, and they're in closing. 1 John 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him. That is true, and that we're in Him, that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. But we know that He hath given us an understanding that we may know. Knowledge built upon understanding, built upon knowledge, cycles. Come on, don't you find that weird? It's kind of strange, right? You can see how a lost guy would look at the book and go, what? Know to understand to know? What? How would that work? Lord, give you well in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Let's start with verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, this is a prayer, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You have knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. But knowledge of Him, understanding that you may know. Look, maybe it doesn't even strike you as odd, but it strikes me as like weird. But grow to know. You're never done. Oh, I understand something better than I did yesterday. Well, there's still more to know. Oh, I know. But do you understand? Because there's a ton of stuff that I was taught that I know, but I really didn't understand. Right? But that thing feeds itself. It can only work with a book that's alive and a spirit that's using the words in your spirit, another living thing. And it has to be intensely personal because He's in you, dwelling in you, and feeding your spirit where your spirit is open to getting it as you allow Him to. And your disinterest just might flummox the whole thing. If you grow where, I don't really care. I'm going to go tool through, WhatsApp or something. I'm going to go tweet for a while. Yeah, that might kill it for good. Say, what's the point? Just don't wander out of the way of understanding. We'll finish this up next time around, maybe. Let's have a word of prayer. Father.